Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar.
Americond is a film about income inequality in the U.S. and the tragic destabilizing effects it has on Americans. Radical inequality has led to a radicalization at every level of society, and in this powerful documentary film, it depicts what happens when America hits a tipping point by looking back through our history at similar critical moments of instability. The labor movement of the past was born. In times like these, we must restore the path to the once great middle class that now suffers in silence. Wonderful film, wonderful documentary film called Americond, and we're joined today by the director, Sean Claffey. Sean, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here today, as well as I just want to let people know the film is going to be here in Los Angeles on June 9th and also available on VOD. And that's June 9th. It'll be at the Lemley Monica Film Center. So before we get too far into this, I want to let people know they can see this film. They should be seeing this because it's a roadmap forward. It's a look back to where how we got where we are today. What was it in your life circumstances that brought you to say, I've got to do this documentary and I have to do it now?
Well, I think it's twofold. I come from an immigrant family from Ireland that kind of grew up in abject poverty and they were able to immigrate here. And in a very short period of time, assimilate into the middle class. That path changed my life, certainly changed my parents, my mother's life. That and then the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, 2010 that destroyed us, us, the collective us, and all the people that caused it got bailed out and we were told to, go do whatever. So I think the most important thing is the path to middle class here. Anyone that works hard should be able to be in the middle class. We have more than enough money to go around. 70% of all people on government subsidies work full time. That's outrageous that we are subsidizing the richest people in the world when they work at the Walmarts and the Amazons and on and on and on. So that's why we made the film. And, I want to live in a democracy, not an authoritarian or a police state.
A kleptocracy, so in some ways, what we have now. I have had this discussion with friends and family about what has happened over the last, I go back 40 years. I'm kind of my sort of Rosetta Stone of where things really went off the rails. And it's in the film to a large degree, is the Reagan administration. That to me is the Rosetta Stone of all of the things. And you mentioned in the film, essentially knocking out the air traffic controllers union within a week or so of when he took office was a clear signal to the people with a lot of money and potentially a lot of political power that, and you guys decide how you're going to dismantle this middle class, but we're not going to get in your way.
It's funny, you mentioned the air traffic controllers. So that was the only union that endorsed Reagan, and he destroyed them a short time after that. It did start before Reagan, but Reagan, the push started in the late 60s, and the plan was put in place in the very late 60s, early 70s. It took them a while to get it to someone like Reagan, who would just march that path on. He was the first to talk about Make America Great Again and the trickle-down economic theory, which, as we can see, when you talk about the cashier who probably had a union job and a pension, who did very well and had a car and a vacation and health care and all those things, there's more money now than there was then. There's more profits now than there was then. There's no reason that everyone that works hard and the people that are disabled or, injured or whatever should not have a great life in this country. It's the richest country in the world by far.
Again, the film, as I mentioned in the introduction, this is a film about income inequality, but it's also, as to my mind, it's also a film about political inequality and who gets heard and why. You spent a lot of time talking about the ruling by the Supreme Court that money is free speech. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I do think that that, in terms of just understanding the context of all of this, that's an important chapter.
You know, back when they kind of created the plan, and you know, the Friedman late 60s, early 70s, they knew that they needed to get the Congress, the Senate, but most importantly, the judges, because they're lifetime appointments. They started the Federalist Society, which basically is heavily funded, hundreds of millions of dollars from, you know, all the biggest billionaires in the country, to basically breed these lawyers in the colleges, from college through law school, and have them installed in the federal judges all around the country and the Supreme Court. They did it.
They did it.
And we, they never took their eye off the prize, and they did it, and they won. We have to take back that court, but what we really need to do is take the Congress back and install federal judges under Biden, and hopefully he gets a second term, and Feinstein needs to retire immediately. If we don't want to lose the democracy, we really have to focus on that.
Yeah, Leonard Leo is the head of the Federalist Society, and he's the one who's been incubating these judges since they got out of law school. And a lot of them end up starting as clerking for Clarence Thomas, Scalia. They've all started, they've sort of got their beak wet, if you will, at that level, and the understanding of the court system, especially the Supreme Court, by going that route. And you couldn't be more corrected. When I say Citizens United, was that is kind of the icing on the cake. We had been talking, going back to the Koch brothers and the way that they were able to manipulate. One of my little pet theories is, when everyone rightfully was concerned about the 2008 election of getting, and that was Barack Obama's first term, the Koch brothers focused heavy money on the state houses, the governor's races, the state legislatures, which now has allowed them to be able to gerrymander these states so that you have minority-majority rule. So there are a lot of things in place here. And again, Americon is about these things that you and I are talking about. It's about participation in the political process. And I want to bring into our conversation Chris Smalls, because I think he's a great example of people who can do what they think they might not be able to do, they can.
Yeah. So I met Chris early on, right after he did the walkout at Amazon, long before he formed the union. We sort of clicked right away. There is no one more tenacious than Chris Smalls and more hopeful. You know, they got beat up. You know, they spent $25 million to take them down. And this is like 7 to 10 people, right, on his team. This is what was crazy. They tried to brand him with the union movement because they said he was not smart or articulate. Well, he's one of the smartest people I know. They should have done a little research on him. He was a chess champion in high school. When you see that small amount of people with that adversity who win, it gives me great hope. You know, we've come through this before in the late 20s and 30s, and we built the biggest middle class in the world, and we can do it again. We just have to come together, not be cynical, not be hopeless, but be hopeful and get it done. And all of us have to do it.
And Sean Claffey, I love the fact that in the film Americon, you make this point. And I've something that I've been saying for years, having worked in organized labor, those are not, generally speaking, the guys who are union guys are not always the liberal guys in the room. They're working class, hard-nosed guys, but they understand things that they have in common, which is good wages, safe conditions, pensions, all the things that you point out in the, you make that point. And while as horrible as January 6th was, as it's pointed out in the film, this is one more symptom of something that has gone terribly wrong, horrific thing that happened on January 6th. But we got to look at the bigger picture here, which is those people were angry. And President Trump, former President Trump, was the vehicle by which that message was delivered on a national scale. And January 6th was, we're not going away until we get some fairness out of the system.
The Democratic Party used to represent these people. And slowly and surely, they didn't. You know, NAFTA, the outsourcing of the jobs, manufacturing jobs to China. And they're angry. They lose your house, you lose your job, you're almost homeless. So you get a destabilized democracy when someone falls from status out of the middle class or perceives a fall in status. It becomes all unstable. And then these authoritarians or the people that want to control come in with the other, you know, it's the immigrants. Yeah. It's the Jewish people. It's the brown people. It's the, you know, to divide, because they know they're not offering anything. They just divide them, make them hate, and then focus that hate. We're in a very dangerous time. You know, far more dangerous than I think most people think. But, you know, if we can come together little by little again and realize that we're being manipulated. I've been in unions. My grandparents were in unions. And you get all different people, all different races, all different religions together, you know, focused on one thing. And it's amazing what can be done.
Absolutely. It's been my experience as well, just what you described. It is good to see that in recent polling, unions are polling at higher numbers than they have in many, many, many years. The popularity of unions, and you see it, and you see it in the organizing. In the film, we see Amazon, you're seeing Starbucks, even though they're going through tremendous travails that people have had enough.
So the cash register people can have a nice life.
Yeah.
Which you just talked about in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, the film couldn't have come along at a better time as far as I'm concerned. I think this is a time when people, when they see a film like this, for me, oftentimes it means, you know, I've been thinking this for a long time and I thought maybe I'm the only one who sees it that way. And then, but when you have something like Americond and you are walking out of that theater and you strike up a conversation with somebody in that theater, it's one more spark, one more opportunity for people to understand their world a little bit better.
Yeah, we showed it to all different types of people and they come up at the end and like, I didn't know that this was happening and it was planned. And people call me that saw it like months ago at different screenings. I can't stop thinking about the film. You know, one person said, when you see it, you can't unsee it. So it's, you know, I think it's going to help educate a lot of people.
I agree. I agree with you. Yeah. Years ago, I heard an economist, this was back in the early 80s. He said that the baby boomers, the generation of the greatest generation, is going to be transferring the largest cachet of capital in the history of the world when they get to a certain point. And it's going to become to the baby boomers. That will be the largest transference of wealth in the history of mankind. And he said there will be attempts to take that from those people before they have a chance to benefit from it. And that was the beginning. This was it.
They did. So $50 trillion. I mean, I don't think anyone can actually comprehend how much money that is. More than 2 years of all the GDP in the country has been extracted from the bottom 80, 90% to the 1%, and really the point like 0.1%. $50 trillion.
It's unfathomable.
It's unbelievable. And it's that trans person with the Bud Light. That's the problem. Unbelievable, right? I mean, but that's how they die. But I think people are waking up. I just read an article the other day about if Hollywood, the system has been like shutting down all these pro-union films for like decades. I didn't, you know, I saw how hard it was for us to get this made. And it's not like we're not well connected. And it was just dead end after dead end. So luckily, you know, an old friend of mine, producer, came on and, you know, Len Manfredo, and like saved this film.
Well, let's point people to your production company, Shine the Light Films. So that's where people want to find out more about the work you're doing.
Yeah, but really go to www.americond.com.
Very good.
And you can see all the places it'll be playing. And so it'll be in Santa Monica. The 9th through the 15th, New York 9th through the 15th, and then all over the place, in different locations for a day here and there, and then streaming.
Streaming beginning on the June 13th, as it says here, 13th, you'll start the platforms. Congratulations. I pray for a solid turnout, turn away crowds. Get some of those workers in there. Get them in there, because I think they're the ones who can light this fire. Well, Sean Claffey, thank you very much. Writer, director, producer of this wonderful documentary film, Americond. Thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you getting this message out there. It's really important.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.